think they would have just, they could have done so much better with a whole lot less money if they would have just used kind of the originals.
I do think Dolph Lundgren was good in the role, though.
I think so,
too. Yeah, it was good casting.
I mean, I enjoyed this when it came out, but I also remember...
They strayed from the actual storyline too much.
We'll talk about it. Everybody, welcome to the Scary Dad Podcast. This is episode 46.
And we are not discussing Rocky IV, even though I mentioned Dolph Lundgren. Don't worry.
He's good in that, too. Today, because there's so much crap going on in the news, and everybody's wanting to be negative, and everybody's unhappy one way or another, and here at Scary Dad, we don't play that, so we're going to talk about toys. We're going to lighten the mood a little bit, as much as we can, anyway, talking about, you know, killer robots from outer space, and
creatures from parallel universes.
Exactly. But yeah, so toys. We're going to talk about a couple of our favorite toy lines from the 80s. Stuff that never really went away, but also seemed to be coming back really strongly lately.
Yeah. Yes.
So, hold your horses. We'll get into that in just a moment.
They're a lot more expensive now than they used to be, too.
Yeah, right? First, we're going to talk about some old business. So we'll just get right into the history segment. It's kind of a short one today. Not too terribly much going on this date, but a couple of really important things did happen. On this date in 1898, Caleb Bradham invents Pepsi-Cola. So I think we talked about not too long ago, Coca-Cola was invented.
Yep.
And here along comes the choice of a new generation.
Pepsi.
Pepsi.
My mom loved Pepsi. She was about the only one in the family that preferred it, but
I used to have a friend when I was in high school. His dad loved Pepsi, but he would pour it into a cup and put it in the microwave. He liked warm Pepsi. Really strange.
Speaking of strange, what was it? Pepsi and milk that Laverne from Laverne and Shirley liked to drink.
Ugh.
Yeah, I tried it once as a kid because she used to do it on the show, and it's disgusting.
Well. On one hand, you think, well, it might make sense, you know, the concept of the root beer float or the vanilla Coke.
No.
No. That just, to me, that just, it screams curdles. I'm allergic to milk, so I can't eat ice cream or drink milkshakes or anything like that. Can't say that I too terribly miss it, but there are some things, but... Then I hear about a recipe like that, and I'm kind of glad that I not only won't I try it, but, man, I can't try it, so not to. But in the same vein that we were talking about, how the reason we went ahead with the lighthearted atmosphere of the story is there's a lot of crap going on, and there's always been a lot of crap going on. So on this date, August 28th, 1955... was when 14-year-old Emmett Till was murdered in Mississippi. He's a Chicago boy, apparently. It was later redacted that it didn't actually happen, but he was hitting on or catcalling a white woman in a grocery store in Mississippi, and the woman's husband and a friend kidnapped him, took him out to the swamp, beat the hell out of him, I think shot him and hanged him. And obviously sparked a lot of outrage.
Right.
And really kind of led to, you know, if there's a silver lining, it kind of led to the civil rights movement, you know, actually getting some real legs under it. So, you know, it was already going. The winds of change were already blowing, but this really kind of kicked it into gear.
Right. And they said that kind of stuff used to go on, but unfortunately, I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with Zydeco Music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Zydeco Music, the name is derived from a song called Zydeco Sampasale, which is Zydeco is a French, Creole French term for snap beans. And the guy who made the first Zydeco song, where the name comes from, is Amadi Ardoin. And a similar incident happened to him. And he was playing in a club at this white establishment. And he was sweating real bad, and this woman from the audience noticed that and handed him a handkerchief to wipe his sweat off, and he did it. It was a white woman. Well, it pissed off a bunch of people, and that on his way home, they found him, attacked him, and they ran him over with a wagon. It crushed his larynx, and he never played music again.
Oh, crap.
Horrible, horrible story. He just got into this depression. He ended up dying about a decade later, but it's sad that it happened at a time, but all we could do is learn from it.
Absolutely. Well, again, the silver lining of that is that, you know, it was 8 years. I mean, to be fair, it those wheels started turning, and they moved a little slowly. But also on this date in 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. gives his famous I Have a Dream speech. And then shortly after that, the Civil Rights Act got signed into law. And, you know, for better or for worse, things you thought they were improving for the last 50 years. And it's got its hiccups, but let's hope...
You can't deny it has improved, though.
But it has improved, and let's hope that it continues to improve, you know?
Just to add a little levity to this, remember The Onion?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, The Onion once did this article. Where they used to do this thing where it was like flashback news articles where it looked like it was an old paper, print of a newspaper and stuff. And they had I Also Have a Dream, the speech by Malcolm X. You got to read it. Because it starts off, I also have a dream. And then it goes on from there. It's pretty damn funny.
He was not a happy man.
No, not at that time. It was before his trip to Mecca and before everybody loved everybody. Yeah, it was it's a good read.
Well, let's get past the history segment. There wasn't a whole lot more after that. Nothing interesting anyway. So, let's get into happy birthdays, notable births. This date in 1917, the great Jack Kirby was born. So if you like comic books, it's all because of him.
Yes. If you like the X-Men, thank Jack Kirby.
If you like just about anybody.
Yep.
Captain America. So many of these characters that Stan Lee takes credit for.
They're from the mind of Jack Kirby.
They're from the... Yeah. And as he's getting older, he's getting a little less affronted. Now, I tend to say the words, you know, to be fair, but to be fair to Stan Lee in a lot of ways, he was a creative force, and he okayed a lot of stuff, and he also vetoed a lot of stuff that yep. was not going to sell. So certain things, like...
He knew the market. He knew the comic book world.
Right. And certain things would be brought to him in different stages of development, and he would bring them and make them kind of what they were, and then take them back to his writers and artists and say, do them this way, and so...
But still, had he not died, he'd be having to share a lot of limelight with Jack Kirby.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, 1957, Daniel Stern. He's the voice of grown-up Kevin Arnold from The Wonder Years.
Mm-hmm.
He's also one of the Wet Bandits in Home Alone.
Okay, yeah.
You know that voice.
Yeah.
It is the...
He's been in several other movies. Character, oh, yeah. Actor. Yeah.
Absolutely. Was it in City Slickers?
Yeah.
Where he goes crazy.
Yeah.
And he's... The Lisa Simpson, Yeardley Smith, was the checkout girl that he knocked up in his yeah. father-in-law's grocery store. It's not really all that funny, except for it's kind of funny. 1962, David Fincher. So he's the one that brought us Seven and Fight Club and Zodiac, amongst others. Great director, mm-hmm. very dark. He made Alien 3, which he kind of tries to distance himself from. And he blames the studio. Like, I had a whole different plan for that.
That's how it goes a lot of times, though.
1969, Jack Black.
Funny guy.
Funny guy. Also in 1969, Jason Priestley. The dude was like, so when was...
God.
Yeah. So when was...
90210 was...
Like in the early 90s?
Yeah, early 90s.
Yeah, so he was like in his mid-20s playing a...
High school student.
And they were in high school for a few years. I think he started off as a freshman or sophomore.
I think most of the cast of that show were pretty much.
I remember, and this, you know, I never am one of those people that really. I mean, I understand the concept of like body image and, you know, the hot girl on the magazine cover and selling to Impossible Images and stuff. And normally I'm not real sympathetic to it because I'm like, well, you know, you're not gonna go. You're buying a dream, right? You're buying stuff that's fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Of all these famous models, you know, these supermodels or whatever, hundreds of thousands of them try out, and like 20 of them make it. So they're the cream of the crop, the top of the top, the most beautiful, the most talented, the luckiest, the ones with the best representation, and then they're only really marketable for as long as their looks hold out, unless
right.
they have some other side hustle talent that they can turn into an acting gig or a, you know, furniture line or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a very elite place to be one of the beautiful people. But I do remember in 90210, because that was on TV when I was in high school, and seeing these kids and being like, it's in. Like, I don't look like that. Nobody at my school looks like that. Who looks like that? and being smart enough to realize that, no, it's not just because they're in California and they're rich. They're like, man, that guy's got gray beard stubble. Like, you just don't look that mature when you're a sophomore in high school. Okay, notable deaths this date. In 388 AD, I don't really know what he did or why he's important, but the Roman Emperor Magnus Maximus died.
He's got a cool ass name.
And he has a cool ass name, so I threw him on here because I just wanted to say that name.
Sounds like a Transformer.
And then finally, this date in 1978, we lost Robert Shaw, Quint from Jaws.
Right.
Brilliant, brilliant actor.
Oh yeah, that he owned that role, man.
That Indianapolis speech still gives me chills.
He's such a no joke. He was a steam sealer in that movie.
Oh, absolutely. And
I'll never Spanish ladies.
Yep. I'll never wear a life jacket again. All right, so that's old business.
Let's talk about a little bit of new business.
Do it.
Okay. Texas Frightmare Weekend is fast approaching. You excited?
I am.
First weekend of May 4th, 5th, and 6th, they started announcing the lineup, and they're leaning. It looks like they're going to have a nice little Child's Play 1 reunion. So far, they've got Alex Vincent, who was the little boy in Child's Play, and Brad and Fiona Dourif, who I'm not sure if they're a husband and wife team or a father and daughter team, but they were in the movie together. But they're going to be there also, and they've also announced Ron Perlman will be in the house, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
He's a nice guy. He's really, really cool. He, I remember John Castle, one mm-hmm. of our artist friends, he was selling prints that he was doing of Hellboy, and Ron Perlman saw one of them. Somebody brought it over to Ron Perlman and gave him a sign, and he actually came over to John's table to meet him and everything, tell him how good of a job he did on the print. So,
that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's a good dude. Second little bit of business. It has been released by the time this is going to drop, but they will be releasing re-releasing T2 as a 3D movie in theaters, select theaters, which is pretty cool. We'll be able to see that on the big screen. And I'm hoping people do go to see it, because if it is successful, they will be re-releasing Aliens as a 3D movie,
that
which
would
be badass. Yes. Could you imagine the scene where she's against the wall and the aliens right in her face? That would just be phenomenal in 3D.
Yeah, I would definitely go see that.
Oh, yeah.
There's certain movies, I mean, I don't know how many times I've seen either one of those films. But, you know, the well-made movies hold up. And, like, a few years ago, Jurassic Park, when they did their 20th anniversary re-release in the theaters,
mm-hmm.
My wife and I, because that's her favorite movie of all time, Jurassic Park.
Welcome to Jurassic.
Exactly. Jurassic Park is her Jaws. I mean, absolutely. And she's just gaga over everything dinosaur. It's pretty awesome. Man, we went and watched that in the theater. And again, how many times I'd seen Jurassic Park just either on TV or, you know,
right,
just edited for TV, like just whatever, probably a dozen times or more just since it came out. Watched it on the big screen, and man, it holds up. It holds up hard. Those dinosaurs are scary.
Those are some amazing special effects at the time, man. They're still good.
Like, yep. They were the top of the top. I mean, they changed the game completely. And so I can't imagine, you know, you take an equally good movie like Aliens and throw that up there.
And finally, a little bit. They finally released the official synopsis for Leatherface.
Okay.
For the movie. So we have a better idea of what it's actually going to be about. And the synopsis that was released, verbatim, I quote, in Texas, years before the events of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, in the early days of the Sawyer family, the youngest one is sentenced to a mental hospital after a suspicious incident leaves the sheriff's daughter dead. 10 years later, he's still in the hospital. He kidnaps a young nurse and escapes with three other inmates. And they're being chased by authorities and by this crazy sheriff as he tries to get back home. The sheriff is out to avenge the death of his daughter, of course. The young Sawyer teen goes on a violent road trip from hell, molding him into the monster known as Leatherface. So he already has some slight derangements to begin with, but this kind of pushed him over the edge, and we'll see how he came to be. Sounds pretty awesome. Cool.
Sounds good to me.
And finally, talking about the just going into toys, just a little thing for us to kick around a little bit. There was a recent conversation with Chris Columbus, who's the original screenwriter for Gremlins. They've been working on Gremlins 3 for a long time, probably the same mode they're working on Beetlejuice 2, which we may never see. But one of the things that he has asked with this script is, should Gizmo have been killed? When you think about the fact that all the gremlins come from getting Gizmo wet, all the bad gremlins are then the offspring of Gizmo, who eat after midnight. Now, Gizmo is the end-all be-all when it comes to the problems that they're having.
Mm-hmm.
Should they just go ahead and kill him and end it all? That way they don't have to worry about it again.
I would think so. As I told you before, while we were setting up for recording, if you look up Gremlins trivia, the word Mogwai literally translates, I think it's Cantonese for demon.
Right.
And, you know, whatever discipline the old man had in being able to keep Gizmo in the box and keeping that side of his nature controlled, once he got out of the box, I mean,
you know, the first Gremlins was pretty dark.
Yes.
The second Gremlins was incredibly campy. It was more of a comedy than anything. To me, it's too late to go back to the dark part and try to put it all in perspective. That's the only thing I wouldn't like about them doing that in another sequel. Gremlins 2 kind of just messed everything up for me.
Yeah. I mean, I saw that in the theater. It was fun.
Yeah, it was hilarious, man.
But, you know...
But it took away from the dark movie that it was.
Absolutely. But, I mean...
It's more of a kids' film now.
It was a new batch. It was like the next generation, and they had evolved, you know.
Just imagine the number of parents that don't listen to this podcast or don't read websites like Bloody Disgusting, and they see Gremlins 3 is coming out. Let's show my kid Gremlins 1 and 2, and we're all going to go see Gremlins 3. And then the kid goes in there, and Gizmo gets killed.
Yeah.
That would be pretty bad. You know, the reviews after the first night would just kill that movie.
Maybe they just lower him into the... maybe he would lower himself into the...
That's what I was thinking.
Into the lava like Terminator 2.
That's what I was thinking. He might take himself out to help end it. That would make a little bit of a difference. But just somebody walking up to him with a .22 and shooting Gizmo would not go over well.
Just a little subsonic and throw him in the trash. like a raccoon.
Give him a burial in a shoebox like you would for a hamster. But that's it for today. We can move on.
Excellent. All right. Well, this is a throwback episode. We're going to not really reference it. We talked about some of these guys in episode 6 when we talked about the 80s toys and kind of the... There was a witch hunt.
Right.
Again, around, you know, in the 80s, you know, kind of coming against these some of these toys. And we covered it, in, like I said, in episode 6, where we discussed how, in retrospect, some of these things were pretty damn evil. Like the Inhumanoids and Black Star and stuff like that. But we're not gonna hit it from this angle. Like I said, we're gonna lighten it up. We're gonna chat about some of our favorites, some of our favorite characters, from some of our favorite just storylines, the movies, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I'm gonna pop into the Wayback Machine and throw ourselves into 1981 when the Masters of the Universe came out. Do you remember that?
That was very huge in my world. Like I mentioned before, that was my fifth grade year when they really hit big. You know, run home, watch it after school. The toys were so big while I was in the fifth grade that they actually put a picture in the yearbook of all the boys in the fifth grade class holding their toys. They let us bring everything to school that we wanted to bring. And there's a Castle Grayskull in the front, and there's all the kids holding their toys.
Awesome.
It was huge when I was a kid. That's the one toy line that I had a ton of stuff.
So you were in fifth grade. I would have been in first.
Right.
So I would have been six. That would have been first grade for me. And same thing. I mean, I remember seeing that commercial on Saturday morning and running in and telling my parents, like, you got it. And I misunderstood it. I thought it said Key Man. So I was like, but... So then that Christmas, man, I got, you know, Castle Grayskull, He-Man, Skeletor, Stratos. I think Stratos was my first guy.
Okay.
The flying guy. And then they had little comic books in there, and you read. And I've actually, at home, I've got a couple that I've picked up through the years, but I have my original Merman.
Oh, cool. You know, I have one of the little comic books.
My Merman has the comic book that it came with. And it's actually pretty neat because, according to this comic book, He-Man derived his powers from his suit.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a power suit. And in this particular comic, Merman hits him with a rock and knocks him out and steals his suit and then throws him off a mountain and takes the suit back to Skeletor. And then Teela helps He-Man
retrieve it.
But later on, it was that he got the power from the sword, and then later the power came from Grayskull itself, and blah, blah, blah. You know, those original ones, they didn't... the stories themselves weren't too detailed. They let you use your imagination. Like a little kind of a background, so you kind of know what you're dealing with. The importance of the accessories. And man, it was time to go.
Right.
Who was your favorite character?
Okay, my two favorite ones, and I'm gonna say the first one was Clawful. Okay, he's kind of like a crawfish, so I like Clawful a lot. Second was Mossman, and the reason I loved Mossman, there was a gentleman named Tim Edler. I don't know if Mr. Tim's still alive, but me and him actually became friends about 10 or 12 years ago. I tracked him down to get new copies of these books my dad had given me when I was a kid about a Louisiana superhero named Crawfish Man. And he looked like Clawful, except he had a tail. And the way he was, his human form, when he was a regular man, was Mr. Bonet. And the way he turned into Crawfish Man is he would grab some Spanish moss out of the tree, put it in his hand, and he'd say, "Spanish moss in my hand, turn me into Crawfish Man." And then the moss pile would grow and Crawfish Man would pop out. That's why I like Moss Man so much.
They were buddies.
They belonged together. It just made sense when I was in the fifth grade. Yes, Crawfish Man books. I got to show you some of those, man. It goes back to a lot of Creole French in the book itself. Like one of the bad people was the Queen Patat. Because a potato. She looks like a fat potato. So it's Queen Patat. It's Darth Gator is one of the villains in it.
Oh,
the
nice.
Books are hilarious, man. But yeah, those came out when I was like 7 or 8 years old. My dad was friends with Mr. Tim, and he got me copies of everything. I even had one featuring Ron Guidry. Remember Ron Guidry used to pitch for the Yankees?
Mm-hmm.
He was from Louisiana. And one of them is Crawfish Man Saves Ron Guidry. But yeah, so those were the He-Man that were big on my list. And then, of course, I had He-Man, I had Skeletor, I had Battlecat. I had all the... He-Man was the bomb.
Yeah, those that, I mean, I remember when, just little memories, you know, like these things that stick in your head that you're just like, so do you remember Zoar,
yeah,
the bird,
yeah,
which later was the sorceress, but at the time it was just like, it was a bird,
right?
And I remember like, we went to the store and we got a He-Man, you know, I got two He-Man, I don't remember which the second one was, but I got Zoar, and then my mom was going over to a friend's house. So I remember sitting in the back seat and she's driving and I'm like flying Zoar, looking out the window like he's flying, like squeezing the thing and his wings are flapping. Just little stuff like that. And he was a bitch because the little thing would always slip out and his wings wouldn't fall limp. But then later on they had that that bird looking spaceship thing that Point Dread in the Talon fighter. You could fit that thing as onto Castle Grayskull.
Yeah, as an accessory to Grayskull.
And it sat and it fit perfectly, and I love that. And then you could take the Talon Fighter out and fly it around.
Right.
Yeah, I had all those guys, man.
He-Man was cool. That was
so
a great
line. So many He-Man guys.
And then once He-Man started kind of... The next hot thing for me at that time, if not I'm saying, was GoBots. The GoBots actually came out first, and I had several of the GoBots. I had some of the planes and everything. I thought they were cool, but then something big landed, and I'll let you go ahead and get into that one. Oh, wait. Okay, you got that first.
Because G.I. Joe had been around.
Yeah.
It came out in 1964.
Right.
But that was the 12-inch.
That was a big 12-inch adventure team.
Right. And then they came back out in 1982 with the 3.75-inch guys. And again, total game changer.
And it was a huge cartoon. Just the cartoon is what really did it for me with G.I. Joe. The figure's not as much. The cartoon, that just kind of blew me away.
Well, and I back to He-Man, like, the cartoon came on, but we didn't have an affiliate when we lived in Corpus. The affiliate didn't show the show. Okay. So I could only see He-Man whenever we came to my grandmother's house here. And I'm sure it changed. Like, I remember seeing him a lot. But, I mean, when it first came out, like the first season, I remember coming to my grandmother's house and then not being able to watch the TV because all the guys were watching football and I want to watch He-Man. And not realizing that if football was on anyway... He-Man's not on. But I always remember surfing the channels and seeing, like, Gallery Furniture commercials. And the Texas was Jim Adler. It was
Texas Hammer.
The Texas Hammer, and that guy's been yelling for 40 years.
He reminds me of the Harry Carey character from Saturday Night Live by Will Ferrell. Just something about his demeanor and everything.
That dude actually office is out of my wife's building.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, dude, the Texas Hammer is one of our neighbors. It's like, does he look grumpy? She's like, kind of.
I can imagine he is.
He's probably one of the wealthiest guys in town.
He can be, yeah. Like, personal injury attorneys, good lord. They make a killing.
Yeah. So then G.I. Joe came out, and all the He-Man went in the box. Because I was done. Like, G.I. Joe was the shiznit right there. You know, and you're talking about, this is about the time when those movies were coming out, like Red Dawn and Predator and stuff. You have, like, just set up these big battles.
And there was so much stuff available through the G.I. Joe line. There was twice the toys they had in He-Man.
Oh, yeah. Well, and every one of them had a file card, had their name, had a character. You know, so it was real easy to have them all have personalities. You know, and then the only problem with G.I. Joe was that you needed an army. You needed several Cobra Vipers because you couldn't just kill off all your main characters, right? You needed to have some guys that could fall without killing off all your main guys.
Right. So you have plenty of ancillary guys that can go ahead and keep the bucket.
I remember one Christmas, because I used to get toys from, you know, all different family members or whatever, and so you imagine, like, if the Christmas limit was like 10 or 15 bucks and G.I. Joe guys cost $3, I got a lot.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And, I remember one year I got like 6 or 7 Vipers. Well, actually, they're the red Cobra Elite Troopers. And my mom was like, oh, you know, I'm sorry. We'll go back and we'll return them and get different guys. And I was like, no way. And I like ripped them all open. I was like, I've got an army now. And it was so cool. And then, you know, I had all the vehicles and stuff, and then as I got a little bit older, I remember we had a Halloween, you know, we did Halloween, and I got some fake blood, and there was, remember the offshore platform?
Yeah, it was down there.
Yeah, It might still have some blood stains on it. Because when I shoot them, I'd like squirt some blood on the ground and lay them on top of the blood. So like, it was all realistic. And I remember my mom came in and she was like picking up my room, and I was doing something else, and she picked up the thing and she pulled a guy and his head was stuck in some dried fake blood, and it like, and it came up. She's like, "You're just getting way too realistic with this." Come on, mom.
But yeah, G.I. Joe was great. The articulation in the figures was real good. And like I said, it was just a powerful, powerful cartoon.
And, dude, we all drove around, riding our big wheels. We always ran around with, like, we'd get markers and draw that little ninja symbol on our arms, like Storm Shadow had, the little crossbar thing. Oh, man. that was the thing right there. It was, you didn't want to just be a grunt. You wanted to be a ninja.
Right.
Who was your favorite G.I. Joe?
Cobra Commander. I always liked the bad guys. Yeah,
me too.
That was my thing.
I always liked the bad guys too. Like, I always tried to win over Snake Eyes. Like, come on, you know, you're dressed like us. You should just come be with us. But most of the time, the bad guys won.
Yeah.
It was just, it ended up being a slaughter, an execution.
It sounds like you were like me. You played very rough with toys.
Oh,
toys
yeah.
didn't last forever.
When we were talking to the Misfit Toys guys, and they were saying, like, every day people come in, and they're like, "Oh, man, I had this, and, you know, my mom threw it away," or this or that. It's like, I have a similar story, but, man, I played with mine till they fell apart.
Yeah.
I felt
they couldn't do anything else.
You know, once their thumbs were broken off, and their legs were so loose,
anymore.
They couldn't stand.
Right.
Then I'd launch them with bottle rockets, or I'd pop them with BB guns, and I'd blow them up and get new ones. Which you couldn't do with Transformers, because they were too expensive.
Yeah.
You didn't put firecrackers in Soundwave.
And you know, when Transformers came out, I was kind of pissed, because everybody stopped playing with GoBots. But I still had all my GoBots. I wanted to play with mine, but eventually I started getting some Transformers. My first one was Soundwave.
My first was Mirage, that Formula One race car.
Mm-hmm.
And it always bugged me, and it might be just one of those, it might be just my some karma or whatever, but it always seemed like the first guys that I would get were not the guys that they had on the cartoons. It's like Mirage, they never put him in the cartoon. With G.I. Joe, my first couple of guys were like, they were not popular. It wasn't like Duke. I got,
right.
You know... And even with He-Man, my first two guys that I got from He-Man were Stratos and Man-at-Arms.
Okay.
So it's like, Man-at-Arms was in the cartoon, but he had a mustache. He looked well.
Man-at-Arms was cool. I had that one.
Yeah.
That was one of the ones I had.
Well, you know, and they all kind of looked the same because they all came out of the same molds.
But yeah, I remember my Soundwave. I used to actually bring it to school and pretend it was really a cassette player and put it on my desk and everything and pop the cassettes out and stuff. And
I remember the rumor because Soundwave didn't play cassettes, but then Blaster, the
Autobot version.
The Autobot version of Soundwave that was a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
The rumor was that there was one that actually played tapes. There wasn't one, but that was the rumor.
That was the talk.
The only one that I know of that was ever had any kind of electronics in it was Shockwave, the gun.
Yeah, they had a couple of them. Did Rodimus Prime had some sound capabilities? It took batteries and stuff. There's a couple of them that did, but not many.
Yeah,
not many. And man, talk about worth some money now.
Uh huh.
It's just crazy. The most expensive one ever that ever came through here. I had a Pepsi Cola edition Optimus Prime that had never been taken out of the packaging.
Oh,
it was still tight in the styrofoam and everything. No, none of the stickers had ever been taken off the card. I mean, it was brand new. I sold that for $550.
Damn.
Yeah. Quick. I sold it in less than 24 hours on eBay for $550.
See, I wonder about that because, like we said, I played with my toys.
Yeah.
And you know, there was never. Obviously, there was collector markets back then too. But none of us ever thought that
it'd be worth anything.
It would be worth, well, even the concept of value doesn't enter a 6-year-old's mind,
right,
or whatever. But, you know, just, like, I never, well, I just said I blew them up with firecrackers. But whenever they were functional, like, I never set out to break them. I took care of them. You know, I made sure that I transform them back to the least, because, you know, if one of those things broke a leg, you weren't getting another one. Those are expensive. So you try to be careful with your transformers. But
well, you know, this, like, now whenever I get them in here, the loose ones, I try to avoid even trying to transform them, because if you mess them up, you don't realize, like, this is supposed to twist this way, not this way. You could do some damage to them, man.
Well, and some of them were, let's just say some of them were very creative in what they considered to be a robot. Like, yeah. You remember the Vans Ratchet?
Yeah.
Where his face was his window?
Right.
And, like, he had a little head behind the window, but then whenever in the show, you know, and you're like, it couldn't have been too hard to, like, just make kind of fold out and the
spin around. Some of them had no articulation at all.
Yeah. But I remember that too with the show, because of the little, and sometimes you do that 20 times while you were transforming it.
Click, click, click. Yeah, I should have the Optimus Prime mask on right now.
Autobots. Well, and then Hollywood came calling.
And said, hey, these toys are making a lot of money. Star Wars toys make a lot of money. Let's make a movie.
Yeah. So I believe the first one was Transformers. Was that in 1985, 1986?
But it wasn't live action, the cartoon movie.
Yeah, the cartoon movie.
Right.
Which I actually just watched the other day when I was homesick from work. And I had forgotten just how... Dude, they just killed everybody.
Yeah. It was a very, very sad, depressing movie.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of remember at that point, that's when I kind of lost touch with Transformers. Because... I don't want to say that it was confusing, but it was like, after the Transformers movie, then all the cartoons used all the new characters, and it was a great marketing ploy, because then you'd have to get, like, Rodimus Prime and, mm-hmm. you know...
Yeah, you had to get a whole bunch of new stuff.
All these other guys, but I didn't like those other guys. I liked
the original ones.
My originals, my tried and true, plus they were all in my toy box.
So, well, Optimus Prime was never supposed to die.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it... was when I was a kid. You never imagined Optimus Prime getting killed.
Why would you kill him?
Right. He ran stuff. He was the boss.
And, you know, Megatron killed the hell out of everybody, but, like, even he, like, they didn't go so far as to kill his personality. They just gave him a new body and a new name.
Yep.
Well, he was cooler as a gun.
But it's a new toy now. You gotta go buy it.
Yeah. I didn't do that.
No, me neither. Well, you know, Transformers was right at the time before I started middle school.
Finding girls.
So once I got into middle school, priorities changed.
You'd rather... Figure out the link, the hooks on a bra strap.
Then transform right at the front. Yes.
Yeah, I was still young whenever that happened. You know, that was the girls thing was still a few years off, but I went back into G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe and He-Man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Transformers lost me whenever they killed off all the characters.
Did you get into Star Corps core at all?
Nah.
It was another G.I. Joe line they came out with later. I got a few of the toys over here.
I'll tell you what... and it's going to make me sound like a purist, because if you actually look at the dates of release of some of these, they were right hot in the middle of it. But, like, right what they did with Transformers. Like, they killed off all G1, I think, in order to launch G3.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't very long that they killed off all of the main characters.
Yeah.
Same thing with, like, He-Man. Like, Skeletor, Beastman, Merman, that whole G1, Evil Lyn, that whole G1 bad guy list of He-Man, to me, was good enough. Like, I realized on the TV show that Skeletor was pretty inept, but he was badass looking, and he could think of some evil plans, and he could, you know. But then they brought out Hordak. I never liked Hordak.
No.
I didn't like the Hordak, or I didn't like the evil Horde. And it wasn't a matter of, like, I was just like, man, just leave Skeletor alone, he'll eventually win.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
But then Skeletor and Hordak fought, and Hordak was, it was like you almost didn't need He-Man and the good guys, because it was all the intrigue on the bad guy side.
Right.
It was like, so I never got, actually I did get Hordak, and I got my mom to return him so I could get Stinkor. Remember him?
Yeah, dude. Sure do.
It's not a big fan of the evil Horde. But then they did that same thing. So they did it with Masters of the Universe with Hordak. They did it with Transformers with Unicron.
Did it with G.I. Joe with Serpentor.
They did it with G.I. Joe with Serpentor.
I love Serpentor.
I love Serpentor too. And the good part about him was, is even though he took over, Cobra Commander was still there.
Yeah.
So Commander and Baroness and Mindbender and Destro, they were still involved. Still involved and still active.
Serpentor was badass.
Oh, hell yeah. Serpentor was awesome.
Combination of all kinds of bad people in one. It was just... Serpentor was cool.
Yeah. Then that movie came out, that animated movie, and I think they learned their lesson from Transformers because it horrified kids and pissed off parents. But Duke was originally supposed to die. And I think there are some cuts where he does.
Okay.
Because if you remember in the beginning, the opening scenes, or early in the movie, he gets hit with a spear. And he gets taken down, and you never really see what happened to him. And I think the movie was supposed to end at his funeral. But instead, it ends with him in the hospital being like, good job, guys.
Right.
But, you can't kill off all your guys.
Just because you want to sell more toys, because you're going to piss off a lot of people.
Right. And then, you know, we had the He-Man TV show, but then it up on the screen right now.
The live action.
The live action He-Man movie, Masters of the Universe, were really the only things that were kind of the same as Skeletor's staff and the logo of the name.
Yeah. That's about it. The thing that pissed me off the most about the movie was the lack of Orko, and then replacing him with this other little troll thing that makes music instruments.
Yeah. Well, there was that.
Well, that was the main thing. There's other things I didn't care about the movie also. Just a lot of the characters, their personalities, and the way they looked didn't make sense. Evil Lynn made sense. I think that's one of the best ones is Evil Lynn.
Yeah.
They got close to.
But, dude, didn't you want to see Teela in her little Cobra outfit?
Oh, yeah, of course.
This Man of Arms, does he have a mustache? But he's not green.
I think he does, right. Yeah, he's not green. There's that little Orko replacement troll-looking thing right there. It was just terrible, man. Orko was awesome. Orko was like the green Martian guy on the Flintstones.
You know,
he was just... He'd steal a scene, and... You know, Orko was Orko. You always expected to see him.
I liked Orko. I remember the toy came with a little zipper.
Uh-huh.
And he'd, like, spin around crazy.
Oh, speaking of live-action movies, what did you think of the first Transformers?
I don't think I ever finished it.
I was just... I wanted... A live-action version of Transformers so bad, I loved it. Just because they brought so many characters to life.
See, I didn't like it because it was a CGI ADD fest. I couldn't tell the difference I couldn't tell the difference between the robots themselves. Like, when they were fighting, who's winning? I don't know. They both look exactly the same. Other than Optimus Prime's voice... The whole Bumblebee...
That didn't make sense.
I didn't dig him too much. He's using his radio to communicate and stuff like that.
I like the Starscream. The Megatron was okay, but it was a little bit too over the top.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy it.
Blackout was perfect. Blackout, the helicopter was right spot on.
Right. But yeah, I didn't watch... I don't even think I finished watching the first one, and I haven't watched any of the other ones.
Okay.
Maybe I'm too much of a purist, but again...
I just wanted to see a lot of action so bad.
I don't see how you can screw up giant robots fighting each other. But they did.
Right.
And, plus... In the originals... Even though the Transformers themselves being, you know, giant metal robots were obviously vastly technologically superior to the humans, they were still vulnerable to weapons.
Yeah.
You know, if you shot one with a tank, he would boom.
Yeah.
But they were all completely invulnerable to any Earth weapon, it seemed, and I was like, wait a second. No. We made some stuff.
Right.
Yeah. You've seen those, like, some of those pictures of 2 foot thick armor being pierced by a bullet. You know, it's like they could dent Megatron.
Yeah.
You know, they could hit him.
Pretty confident they would.
So But yeah, the
see his mustache. See?
There he is. There we go. Yeah, we're kind of watching He-Man on mute while we're recording to see some of the stuff we forgot. But it was like they had such great source material that they could have just spent a lot less money on some of their digital effects, and
it was just like what happened with X-Men.
Yeah,
there's plenty of source material for X-Men movies forever.
Yeah,
there's plenty of storylines. You don't have to recreate them.
Absolutely. And then this little Gwildor guy,
hated him.
Yeah, I didn't like him either. I just remember going to see that movie and being like, first of all, Skeletor is a skeleton.
Yeah, he's not a doesn't look like a blue swamp thing.
But why does he have eyes in his eyes?
This is true.
He's got eye sockets inside of his eye sockets. Like, no, maybe they tried to do something and it was too scary or something, but I mean,
no, a lot of the movie just didn't make any sense. It went too far away from the actual storyline that we're used to.
Beastmaster was much more like Master of the Universe than the movie Master of the Universe was. Now, Dolph Lundgren did a good job, and he was cast well.
He looked the part.
He looked the part, and he's pretty good in just about everything he does. But apparently, according to IMDb, the director who made this is also, this is his first and last movie.
Yeah.
He's done commercials and some TV, but they went over budget.
There's been worse movies, don't get me wrong.
No, there has been.
But this one is pretty bad, which I saw this past weekend. Gee, I gotta tell you about the movies I watched on that new station that I found.
Uh-huh.
My God, I got candidates for the Short Bus Cinema.
Nice.
Podcast.
So what were some of your favorite vehicles? Let's go back to G.I. Joe, because there were some badass ones.
G.I. Joe, the Blackbird was the, what was it called? The Blackbird.
Night Raven.
I love that one. That was probably my favorite one.
I've got one of those sitting on my workbench at home right now.
Okay, because I was a real big fan of the Blackbird aircraft from Firefox. Remember Firefox? And it was like the same plane.
Yeah.
So, that was probably my favorite one. After that was the one that popped out of the pterodrome. What was it? The demon, what was it called? The devil something. But it was a little plane that popped out of the pterodrome.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, I've got a Sky Striker in my garage. I don't care if it gets sawdust on it. I'm never getting rid of it. I've got a Night Raven that I'm willing to sell, but it doesn't have the little piggyback guy.
Okay.
But I had all these things, like I said, you know, just over time and play and storage and stuff.
Yeah, things go away.
Things go away. Things got broke. I didn't realize, like, I kick myself now because I didn't realize that you could buy those little rubber bands.
His eyes are set way back in his head, huh?
Yeah. But I didn't realize you could buy those little rubber bands to repair your G.I. Joes.
Joes, right.
So I had a box of guys.
People buy the parts. They spend some money on the parts.
Yeah, I had a box. Like, a good, like, three times of a shoebox full of my G.I. Joes that had sat in my parents' garage and gotten heated up and the rubber bands all broke. Out. And whenever I dug them up, there was nothing but just loose parts, and tossed those. Should have known better, but
it happens.
It happens. Yeah, my favorite vehicles were kind of the land vehicles. Like, both of them had the little desert dune buggies.
Mm-hmm.
I had the bridge layer tank, mm-hmm. which was badass because you could set that bridge layer up sideways and make a ramp for the dune buggies to go over. The trouble bubbles. I had a few of those. Those were badass because they fell apart easily.
Yeah.
So you could shoot those and they blow up in the air. But you know the thing that everybody always had them and I always wanted them and I don't know why. I probably could have just asked for it and I would have gotten it because I was kind of spoiled when it came to G.I. Joes. Like, I don't know why. I mean, I was not underprivileged in any way, but whenever it came to, like, Transformers, I'd be like, can I get a Transformer? They'd be like, those things are expensive.
Price.
Well, no, totally.
Big difference in price between the two.
But, like, with G.I. Joe, remember the field armor? It was like a metal suit. It was made of plastic, but it kind of clapped over a guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like a mech suit.
Mm-hmm.
I love those things. I never had one. I had friends that had them.
Probably could have salvaged some of your G.I. Joes that weren't standing up anymore. Just stick them in that.
Yeah, exactly. So what's that figure that you wanted, or that vehicle that you wanted that you never got?
Optimus Prime, probably.
With Transformers, for sure.
I never had Optimus Prime. This one that always escaped me. Castle Grayskull would be the other thing.
See, I had Castle Grayskull. My dad wouldn't let me have Snake Mountain. He thought it was
the devil.
Dude.
It changes your voice to the necromancer. You become the necromancer all of a sudden.
Yeah. But that's the... With He-Man, that's the one I always wanted that I never got.
Okay.
And then...
I got a buddy of mine, Anthony Martinez. Shout out to Anthony Martinez and the Rad Toy Show. Check out on YouTube. They have a YouTube channel they just started up a couple episodes ago. But when you go to his house, you start over here, and there's shelving units like this, just some toys going around. And then when you get to the fireplace... At the bottom of the fireplace is the entire Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle city.
Oh, wow.
All the characters and everything on the base of the fireplace. You look up on the mantle, and there's Snake Mountain. And it's all the evil horde and the rest of the bad He-Man. And then there's a ramp that goes up, and there's Castle Grayskull.
Oh, wow.
It is raised up above it, and then you see all the... His display is pretty impressive.
Not to knock anything, but how married is this guy?
He's not.
Because I don't think I can get away with that.
look around here and you can see why I'm single. So
I just can't imagine my wife being like, hey, yeah, let's put Snake Mountain on the mantle.
I'm talking linear feet is probably a good 24 linear feet of toy displays he has going around the living room.
So, you know I do woodworking. So... I'll make something or whatever, and when I have scrap wood, I can't throw scrap wood away. So
often, pile in the back.
So often I will make something just kind of on a lark, because otherwise I'll just keep piling up scrap wood.
Uh-huh.
So once I finish with something, I'll grab my jigsaw, and like one of our traditions is I'll take, you know, little pieces of plywood and I'll cut them into egg shapes. And every year we all make an Easter egg for the yard.
Mm-hmm.
So every year we get more Easter eggs, and it replaces ones that are weathered or broken or whatever. But one, I was like, I had one that was vaguely head shaped, so I cut it a little bit better and painted it to look like Deadpool. Just his head, his eyes. It wasn't a realistic thing, it was more like the Deadpool symbol.
Uh-huh.
I did a Deadpool and I did a Harley Quinn, because that's just the wood that I had that I was able to make her little jester bells, and just kind of half-ass painted them. I was going to hang them on the wall somewhere. No, for no reason other than just I thought it was cool and I had some the extra wood. And my daughter comes out and she's like, "Ooh, Daddy, you know, what's his name?" And I was like, "His name's Deadpool." She's like, "I know where we should put this." And she goes in and there's a nail, like on our mantle, there's a nail right in the middle over the mantle, which had something that had been removed for holiday decorating or whatever. And she's like, "Put it right there." I was like, "Sure." And I hung it up there. And I was just like, I waited because my wife had gone to the grocery store or something. I waited for her to come home. And it was just like, door opens. "Hey." I'm sitting there like, 5, 4, 3. "No."
No.
And Juliet's like, "Daddy, look. My mama doesn't like your guy." It's like, all right.
That's the way it happens, though.
Yeah, you know.
What can you do?
But at the same time, she comes in, you know, a while back. She's kind of looking around. I got comics and action figures. And she's like, "You know," she's like, "I don't really get it. Like, I get that you have a good time with it. I don't, it's not really my thing." She's like, "But it's a lot less deadly than all of your other hobbies." Because prior to getting back into comics and toys, I was collecting guns and knives.
Safer for the kids.
Yeah, accessories and stuff like that. I'm like, well, you know, that stuff's expensive. But I think, man, unless you've got some closing thoughts on our favorite toys from the 80s, I think that's... puts that one in the bag.
Nah, I think so.
Little
now, if we jumped into the 70s, it'd be a few more that I'd add. But as far as 80s go, I think we've got it covered.
Cool. I mean, there was a lot more in that.
Yeah, but in between. Right.
Those are your heavy hitters right
there.
Yeah,
those are the ones that you really got into. The other ones were kind of like just knockoff toys. Not knockoffs, but one-shots, as they would say. You'd get
one-shots or you get... Oh, actually, dude, the other day I was playing around on eBay. It was weird. I don't know how I fell down this rabbit hole. But some of these weird knockoff stuff that you would buy like in the grocery store, like those little two-headed dragons.
Uh-huh.
You remember those?
Yeah.
And then like the knockoff He-Mans that were like, you know, they were...
It was like He-Man's bastard brother you'd
yeah,
see pop up.
They were going so for some money.
Oh, because they had low runs.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Like, I had those guys. I never...
Just like a...
That was whenever you had that weird, like, strange cousin or something that was like, oh, here's a present. You're like...
Yeah, I was showing you that comic book, Cops. Mm-hmm. And there was a toy line that came out. And, like, the toys had cap guns in them and stuff.
Yeah.
Those are worth a shit ton of money because they didn't make a lot of them. They didn't sell very many of them, so they had low runs. So you find those in the packages, they're worth some money. I've had a few come through me.
There was the Mask.
Yeah, Mask was they had a whole bunch of toys that came out with that line, but
I didn't like Mask because the figures themselves were so small.
Right.
So it's hard to be like, it was like little troll voice. Oh.
Like little muscle men.
I don't know. Let's see my car.
And then you had stuff like television toys, like the Knight Rider toy that I had recently and stuff like that would pop up every once in a while, too.
The General Lee, the Dukes of Hazzard.
Right.
Yeah, I never had the full-size car. The Dukes
I had
of
one
Hazzard.
Of the cars. My dad used to call his car the General Lee, so I had a General Lee toy.
But we had, me and my cousin, we had obviously the Hot Wheels tracks and stuff. And, man, we went through so many General Lees, just jumping them into things.
Well, my biggest toy that I remember the most is just my Evel Knievel wind-up spin cycle.
That's the one where you spin.
You spin it, yeah, and it pop them out, and he'd take off.
Yeah.
And I remember playing with that toy. That's all I would do all day when I had it. Me and my cousin would make ramps. We'd make him jump. He was all battered up, and, you know, just... in very rough shape.
As he should be. He broke, like, every bone in his body multiple times.
Yeah.
There's some little tiny bones in your body that are, like, impossible to break, and he broke them.
That's one thing I love about that movie, Hot Rod, is when, you know, his mom told him that his dad was Evel Knievel's stuntman. He would do the jumps before Evel Knievel would to make sure they were safe. And he believed this story all these years. It was like, then Evel Knievel would come and take the glory for it. But my dad always did it first. So, like, you mean nobody noticed your dad doing these jumps before Evel Knievel? Come on, man.
That was a great movie.
Oh, dude, Danny McBride is the shit. I can't wait to see his Halloween. I can't wait for
it's
that movie.
It's going
to
be good. Come.
But yeah, when he beats that guy up with the Winnebago, I go to church every Sunday. You're going to bring the devil out of me.
The best part was, like, you don't think of him much. He's just there. And then the dude smarts off and he just beats the hell out of him.
I've been drinking green tea all day.
You're just like,
man. This is my head now.
That's one thing I do like in movies is when somebody backs up their bullshit.
Yeah.
It's like, it was so nice in The Big Lebowski. After Walter's talking all that shit through the whole movie, and at the end he's like, just goes ape shit and beats up everybody. He's like, like, he's got the chops to back
it up
to his chat.
Yeah, the Rico character was awesome. The, I just found these fireworks in the bathroom. Would you like to pop them with me?
Oh man, I think we're gonna call that done.
Yep. You guys take care. Keep in touch. Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, message us scarydad2@gmail.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Later. The sky comes a fearful cry, Cobra!
Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world. G.I. Joe!
G.I. Joe! G.I. Joe! G.I. Joe! Fighting for